Often, it's very helpful if you want to know something about an organization or a movement. It's helpful to hear the story of its beginning. Or sometimes it's good to go back and read the founding documents. Because if you understand the beginning, it can be very helpful at times to then know what is the purpose of the movement or the organization. Today, the church gives us the story of the beginning of the church. We have that story from the Acts of the Apostles of the first Pentecost. There's some interesting little details in that reading. One of them is, notice that reference to the sound of a mighty wind. Well, in Greek, and also in Hebrew, the word for wind is the same word as for spirit. If you go back to the book of Genesis, if you remember the passage where it says, you can hear it translated in two ways, that a mighty wind hovered over the waters, or another translation is, the Spirit moved over the waters. But the point I'm wanting to make is that reference to wind in the Acts of the Apostles and that first Pentecost brings us back to that reference to wind in the book of Genesis. And it was that movement over the water that the Bible attributes to the beginning of bringing order out of chaos, the beginning of creation. Luke, in the Acts of the Apostles, is presenting us a new creation. That same Spirit that hovered over the waters is now filling those early disciples. He is, in a sense, taking those timid, frightened men who John tells us were locked for fear of the Jews. He's taking them. He's transforming them. He's enabling them to speak in many languages. And he's sending them out as powerful witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the mind of Luke, truly, a new creation. God is doing something new. God is bringing the good news of salvation to all the world. Now, what I said about those founding documents, or that story of the foundation of a movement, is important here. Because what we see is that the initiative is not from the apostles. It is from above. It is a spirit-guided initiative. The apostles have no sense of how to do that on their own. They have no power to do it on their own. It is the working of the Spirit of God. And we in the church need to always be aware of that. The work of the church is the work of the Spirit. And yes, we are instruments very often of that working, but we do it not on our own. And when we try to do it through human plans and through human programs, and we forget the working of the Spirit, then we are going to be helpless, powerless, without any success. But when it is openness to the Spirit, then we have power. If you go to the gospel today, there's an interesting piece there that we need to look at. Jesus appears to those apostles, and notice again we have reference to breath. Same word again. It says he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." But then what happens? "Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Very essential to that ministry that Jesus is given through the power of the Spirit is the forgiveness of sins. That is one of the essential things, if you can draw that out of there, that we as church must do. We must not only proclaim that God forgives, but we must forgive in God's name. Because it is our sins that serve as an obstacle to the working of the Spirit. And until somehow we are freed of those sins and healed of those sins, the fruit of the Spirit cannot be active within us. Earlier this week in the morning prayer that we as priests and many religious use and some lay people are using too, there was a reading from Cyril of Alexandria. Cyril was a saint of the 5th century. But he had a passage that really caught my attention. He said, "Without repentance, there could be no fruit of the Spirit in our lives." Without repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is to acknowledge my sin and then to turn away from my sin. I suspect that's a message we need very much to hear in our own time. Because there has been a tendency to minimize our sin. You know, kind of with that statement, "Well, I don't do that stuff that's that bad. No, I know people who do things a lot worse than what I do." Or, "Well, everybody else is doing it, so it mustn't be too bad." When we minimize it, we fail to own it. And if we fail to own it, we cannot repent of it. And if we cannot repent of it, how is the Spirit going to work in our lives? It's not that we need to wallow in our sins, but we do need to own them. We do need to acknowledge that there is sin, there is evil in our lives, so that we can turn away from that. Traditionally, that has been one of the great values of the sacrament of reconciliation or penance or confession. Because it was a time that we kind of stopped and looked at our lives and acknowledged the wrong that we had done. But acknowledged it in a way that we could then become free of it. We could repent of it. We could try to move our lives in another direction. Unfortunately, that is being lost to so many people in the church today. And being lost almost by some in a sense of freedom and liberty. But in the reality, it could become slavery. Slavery to not acknowledging where we need to change our lives. Well, I can't judge anybody personally. As a society, we have huge need for repentance. in our focus on the material over the spiritual. The fact that family values and marital commitment has so much declined in our society and our culture. The whole evil that is represented by abortion. The commonality of cohabitation before marriage. Contraception. All of those things that we've somehow almost accepted as part of our lives. We need as a society to repent. We need to own the reality of the evil that we are involved in. Because it's only then that we can open our hearts to the Spirit of God. And as we saw, the initiative of the church is not a human initiative. It is a divine initiative. If the church is to bear the fruit that Christ wants of it today, it must be the fruits of the Spirit working through each and every one of us. And as Cyril of Alexandria said, if there is not repentance, there can be no fruits of the Spirit.